Season 5, Episode 8 of Bates Motel, The Body. Holy shit, they killed Chick!
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Welcome, everybody, to AfterBuzz. Episode 8 of Season 5, The Body. This is Bates Motel. These two lovely ladies to my right were supposed to say, you bastards, but they chose not to out of spite and or malice.
Well, you just said, you want to say bastards?
That's all you said. I don't know what you were talking about.
You both know what you did.
And I'm like,
explained it, I was like, well, it's funny. I don't know why. What just happened? But I feel like I was supposed to do something.
I thought I got a solid nod from both of you. Nothing. Okay. No, it's too late now.
No, that
ship sailed.
Now that I know.
Holy shit, they killed Chick.
You bastards!
Still effed it up.
We need the rehearsal.
It's so nice to be here with you guys. Joe Braswell is not able to be with us today because, as I've said in the past, he's a bad person. I am joined, however, by the lovely Dua Casey.
Hi, welcome everybody.
And the fantastic Julia Kearley.
Hello.
And I'm Joe Sanfilippo. It is nice to be here with you guys. Lots of stuff went on this episode.
Yes.
It got serious.
Getting juicy.
What's the quote, Dua, from that last scene? More
surprise than your brain would allow you to imagine.
Oh, man, we're on more Thunder on. Mountain. This is the wildest ride in the wilderness. All right. So, Dua Casey, what were your thoughts about this episode?
I thought bodies everywhere. Not a single one of them still living.
No! That's how come to bodies.
If you were curious as to whether or not Emma had a sliver of a hope as to whether or not Emma's mother was still alive, was just smashed today.
You heard the sound effect.
That's an engineer on his game
there. That's right. It's not planned.
I took your line. I thought this was great. I thought this was a great episode. We're getting down to the nitty gritty. We have two episodes left after this. It's every episode now is just bittersweet to me. And I still don't know. After predictions last week, I still have no idea which direction they're going to go. No clue.
Mm.
I've stopped trying to decide.
No, it's almost more fun to just kind of like just
go along with the ride.
Take us on a journey, Carlton Cuse and Gary Hill. What's the reaction, Julia Kearley?
Oh, come on. My reaction is always, I freaking love the show.
I freaking love the show.
It's so good to see Norman / mother, both of them in custody, and how they're trying to like work around the sheriff and their approaches to what's going down. And and mother in this episode was so badass.
Oh.
It was so cool to see her take over like that. That moment, I was like, ah! Slamming his head into the toilet.
Grim.
And I love to imagine these scenes as just like a spectator watching that and him throwing his own head against the toilet.
I love that they got violent. Like, it wasn't like, honey, I'm going to take over. I mean, they could have, right? There's choices to be made. They could have done like some, what was the movie with Robert Downey Jr. where he has all the... all the people he's taken along with him, all the ghosts that are inhabiting his body.
What is that movie called?
But you know, they jump into him, you know, and now they're in the body. They could have done that kind of shit, but they're like, no. We'll just have her beat the living shit out of Norman.
Well, Norman and Mother have gotten very physical in the last few episodes.
Yeah.
From that moment that he threw her to the ground and was strangling her in the woods.
Right.
And from there, it's escalated. They've slapped each other around. They had a big fight on the kitchen table. Mm-hmm. Like, they are really physically at odds as well as mentally right now.
Dude,
it's almost like the physicality is actually... it's representative and very symbolic of where they're getting to at just how critical this is getting. I mean, she was very motherly when she kind of took him in her arms and nurtured him, but it's getting to critical mass. And so this is just the fight. They're showing through the physicality the fight that he's having internally. It's actually a physical fight. That's how they can beat each other up, and they're getting really physical now.
Well, let's go to the top of this thing. First interrogation is with Norman, the sheriff and Norman. Mm-hmm. And that is a very, very different interrogation than what we have later on.
Mm-hmm.
But yes. Norman, she doesn't really... I was sitting there watching that scene. I'm like, don't let him go. Don't let him go.
Yeah, I thought he was going to get away with it.
I thought he was too.
I was like, oh my God.
You know what I think, Norman? I think you're doing this for attention. I'm like, he's not doing it for attention. He absolutely kills people.
I loved her explanation that he developed an adult affect. You know, that he's like putting on his adultness because that's the only way he can deal with what he's been left with after his mother's suicide.
That next shot of him and his collar was slightly askew.
It was so interesting.
Like, that is his adult affect. That's so good.
That's, you know, let's back up for just 1 minute. Can I talk about the very, very opening scene where it's Norman with his eyes closed after everything has just happened in his house, and Sheriff Green is looking at him, and he's having this internal struggle with himself. He opens his eyes, and Mother is like
every
storming
time he
towards
looks
him.
Over his left shoulder, not for anything, but it was his left shoulder. We had a little left shoulder thing here in the studio. Anyway,
someone has an issue with looking over.
I don't like looking
shoulder.
Over my left shoulder. So I'm just saying that's where Norman was looking. Left shoulder. There's Mom coming down the hallway, hell bent.
That was scary.
Yeah,
charging him.
Yes.
I can't see you.
And immediately he was like, I want my medication. My brother has my medication. I want my medication. Yes. I want to go. I want to turn myself in. This is the innocent Norman, right? And what I find so interesting about this whole episode is that I feel like after that first interrogation, he was completely and totally honest. And yet Sheriff Green couldn't see him as doing anything because he didn't do anything. It was Mother that did everything the whole time. So the fact that Mother took over mid-episode, I think, actually hurt him.
She thought the sheriff.
Yes, because all of a sudden, now he's being entitled. He's acting really, what's the word for it? He was just really condescending. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I want my lawyer. And then all of a sudden, now he's taking on the persona of guilt because this is Mother who did do it all. So I think that that's really interesting. Had Mother just backed off and not taken over, I think that he would have gotten out of it after that first interrogation.
What was so cool about this episode with Mother taking over is that we've only seen Norman dressing up as Mother, mm-hmm. and now we're seeing Mother dress up as Norman.
Ooh.
In that moment where she like fixed her collar to look like Norman would, I was like, this is twisty. So this is getting really deep.
We have a
Mother
mental
acting
construct.
Like Norman versus Norman acting like Mother.
It's so deep.
I love the show.
Can you say the mental construct thing in the Albert Einstein voice?
So if it has a mental construct at this time, it's taking over the body of the boy and pretending to be the boy. So as to convince the sheriff that the boy did nothing wrong. Of course, the sheriff is on to the speech.
That's really good.
I like that.
Did you buy it?
Were
you
in?
Equals MC squared, bitches. Ooh. We got this.
Yeah, next week, our guest, Albert Einstein.
It's going to go on forever. So the first interrogation... We have this confrontation with Norman, obviously, and it's gentle. And he's got a map, and he's pointing to the map. And, oh, Norman, that's not where you pointed last time. He's like, well, shit, I don't know. It was around there. It was snowing. So
all
she's
he knows
not
is that he killed Sam.
Definitely
killed.
All
he knows.
And he's confessed. And he's given detail. Mm-hmm. But she's not buying it. Then we go back. Mother does the beatdown, which we already talked about a little bit, which... I find Mother to be, it's such an interesting thing because you know that I don't know if you guys know, maybe you don't know, that I think Vera Farmiga is possibly the finest actress of her generation.
That's an interesting thought.
I may or may not have mentioned that in the past. I don't know. However, it's interesting to watch her only playing one character. We were talking about this earlier when we were outside. She's only really playing Mother. Mm-hmm. And it seems like, and it's funny to me because it's disappointing. I'm like, we don't get to see her, you know, being able to spread her wings all the way. But her choices in that scene, or the choices they all made, like the physicality, which we talked about, is so vicious, so over the top, but making him puke up the pill, too. Yeah. Like, I'm not going anywhere, mother, father, and so gross. And then she cleans him up. That was so Mom.
Yep.
She wipes him up with that mother stuff, and then whang, the head goes down.
Well, last week I talked about this a little bit last week, that she, like, Mother is jonesing to take over. When they were walking back after getting rid of body, car, something.
Body. It was Sam Loomis's body.
Yeah, that's
it. It was the car.
She's like, if it's too much for, that's why they were walking. They got rid of the car. If it's too much for you, like, I'll take over. I'm happy to do it.
Look, I got this.
I can do it. I can fix this. Mm-hmm. And now this was her time. She's like, I'm going to fix it. Yeah. I can do it. Only I can do this. Let me in.
Let's not forget, though, that the mother persona is still Norman. It's just the other half side, the other half of Norman's brain. So he's still thinking like a 17, 18-year-old boy. So when Mother wants to take over this evil part of his brain, she is still making decisions that aren't exactly getting her out of this pickle.
Of course. She's still a mental construct. So she's only able to be as good as Norman. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have the full capacity of Norma because she's not Norma. You're right.
Can I sidebar something really quickly?
I think we have no choice. You're doing it. So
interesting is that after we see Sheriff Green again, and now Mother has taken over, and Norman has this huge gash on his forehead because he's banged his own head against the toilet. Sheriff Green is like, "What happened?" He's like, "Oh, I'm all arms and legs, and this is a small cell." As a sheriff, wouldn't you look at a tape? Like, wouldn't you be curious to look at, like, the cell tape of what the hell was going on to see Norman tossing himself around the screen?
Law enforcement personnel that may or may not be listening to this, if you know what how that actually works, please let us know. Because we could assume that, but we don't know. I mean, it's entirely possible that inmates hurt themselves all the time.
Yeah.
Because maybe they want to go to, I'd rather go to the infirmary. Or I have a plan, if I hit my head, you got to take me to the hospital and I can get out at the hospital. I mean, I don't know.
Give me your shoelaces, Norman.
Right? So who knows? Well, you know, there's a bunch of different reasons for that. But I would imagine that they had to have a writer's meeting. This writer's staff doesn't miss anything. So they probably decided.
Well, it is just a holding cell. Maybe they just don't have a camera in a holding cell. Because there's a huge window there. It was an opportune moment.
I think that that's got to come out at some point. There needs to be a scene where Sheriff Green sees without Norman's knowing. And I think that that's what she was looking for in the interrogation room. She's like, I want him to feel like he's being watched. So maybe there wasn't a camera in the holding cell. That's why she moved him to the interrogation room later.
Mm-hmm. And they do make very clear that we want him to feel uncomfortable. Yeah, yeah. Maybe.
So there's got to be something that comes out. The tip top of Norman's insanity has to be viewed by Sheriff Green at some point.
But in the meantime, we're going to lawyer up with Julia Ramos.
Julia!
This lady was amazing.
I thought she was like a private detective at first, or like a...
Straight out of CSI.
Oh, she's hardcore.
She's pretty badass.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got the slick back hair and the dramatic, like, downward gaze
Can I ask you a very ignorant question? I mean, I have daughters, but I how do you get a ponytail that extreme? I mean, that ponytail was not in the fucking around business. Did you see how tight that was?
Yeah. Painful. It gives
me a
headache.
And a lot of times the tail part, when it's that long, isn't their real hair.
A what?
Yeah, it's not.
You're saying Julio Ramos might be sporting like a horse
like
tail?
An extension, like an extension, yeah.
All right.
A lot of times. Oh, I mean, a lot of times it is. Yeah. I mean,
Are you wearing real hair now? What's happening?
I have real hair on now. Isn't it
obvious? I have real hair on right now.
It's my own. It's my. I'm proud to say I grew it myself.
All right. So if ever I see a ponytail that extreme, it may or may not. Yeah,
don't liar.
Don't ask them.
That's what you're gonna say.
Yeah. Don't ask. No.
Yeah, don't ask.
So is that you're gonna kick my ass now? Okay. I see. That's fair.
I want an F with Julia Ramos.
No.
Yeah.
So Julia Ramos is hired by Dylan, mm-hmm. based on the recommendation. From Remo.
Remember
from
Remo?
Back in the day.
Mm, blast from the past.
Yeah.
Remo, little grizzled dude.
Yep.
Whatever happened to Remo? Do we know?
I don't remember. Did he get shot?
Did he get shot? Something happened to him.
That
I don't
sounds
remember
like
what
it
was.
Could be possible.
I don't remember.
So many bodies in this joint.
Yeah.
All right. So she lawyers up with Julia. And then we have that meeting with Julia and Norman, which is very different than the meeting with the sheriff and Norman. This is a different meeting. This guy, this is mom. And mom's making sure, bitch, you work for me.
Mm-hmm.
You don't work for Dylan. We're not, what did she say? We're not going to the mental, we're not going.
Yeah, if I know what Dylan told you, probably that I'm crazy. If we're going to the mental institution, I'm telling you right now, it's not going to work. So that's pretty much what that was communicated right there. No mental institution, that's not what's happening.
And then we have the idea, right? We float the idea of maybe if Norman didn't
do it.
If
there is a body.
If there happens to be something in a well somewhere, just saying, hypothetically, we should probably be able to say who did put that body there.
Somebody else must have done it.
Because it wasn't you.
No,
right?
No. Someone else must have done that.
I love, did you see that smirk on her face?
Yes.
Oh, I love that. And that's the genius of Vera Farmiga, is that she's already tick, 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 tick in her head. And just that small little subtle smirk of, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw Miss Madeline Loomis under the bus.
Man, oh man.
Which
I didn't see that coming.
I did say that she was going to go down for it. I predicted that a few weeks ago, that somehow Madeline was going to go down for for the murder. But at that time, I thought it was going to be Marion Crane.
She does. Murdered. She does have Patsy written all over her, doesn't she? She kind of.
She's so gullible.
I don't know anything that's happening right now.
So naive.
But it's just. But it's also kind of, I think, a little short-sighted from Mother Norma's perspective. It's like if you really think about the story that Mother told. Actually, almost implicates Norman.
It 100% implicates
because
him.
It all it as now an gives him a, well, it now gives him a motive. Like if he knew where the body was, confessed to the crime, right. And now he's handing Sheriff Green a motive, saying, "I was in love with her."
Well, that takes us to our second interrogation, right? So he's basically she puts out the story. Mother puts out the story that Norman is just so stupid, mm-hmm. and he's so infatuated, and he doesn't know that he's being used. And he feels like I was a soft target. I think he doesn't say it that easily, but I think that all flows until you dig up the other two bodies. And Madeline Loomis didn't even live in town at that point. So you've been whacking people longer than you've been being used by Madeline Loomis in your game here.
But one conversation with Madeline Loomis, and it would all go out the window. Like, you could see when Sheriff Green had that conversation with Madeline, she had no clue that her husband was even missing. She didn't have any idea that, like, not once, she didn't even report him missing because she thought, I think that she thought that he ran away with Rihanna under the umbrella.
Right.
And so that they were gone together. So the fact that he's dead came as a total shock to her. And Miss Sheriff Green is... the queen of, I'm going to tell you a piece of information and wait for your reaction.
Absolutely. Right. She plays that so well with every single character that she interacts with.
Yep. What do they call that? The pregnant pause technique? I'm going to wait for you to say something stupid. No. I think we talked about this. I got a couple of friends that are cops that they do that shit on instinct. Not our buddy Jamie. He doesn't do it. But I got another buddy who does it like it's constant. And you have to like stop him. You know what? You need to stop that. And you need to actually have a conversation. This leading shit has got to stop. Because eventually I'm going to implicate myself, and I didn't even do anything wrong.
Yep. Where were you on the night of April 7th?
Damn you! So we have our second interrogation with Mother and Julia Ramos and the sheriff, and it is nowhere near as nice. It is very contentious. But they are still going to hold. They're going to hold Norman regardless. Mm-hmm. That's happening. Now we have this. Then we go back to the hotel. Doesn't Chick rolls up. In what has got to be the oldest operating car in the Pacific Northwest.
The return of the prodigal son.
Chick doth returneth.
Ah.
And he's sporting a raccoon, and he's pissed.
Yeah. Well, would you call him pissed?
I wouldn't call him pissed.
Well, he seemed mad once he found out. Did he slam that raccoon around pretty good?
He was tossing that raccoon.
Yeah, he was. He seemed panicked to me that Norman was dead. Like, that was a real moment. Like, that's his friend. Like, he really loves Norman. He has love for Norman.
That guttural sigh of relief when he found out that, is he dead? Is he dead? He's like, oh!
Yeah.
Now, this is what I want to ask you about. Do you think that sigh was about the book or about Norman?
I think both.
Think
I
so?
Do. Yeah, I think both. I think he really has affection towards him.
You think he loves
I
him enough to warrant
him.
The sigh?
I think he's fascinated by him. You know, and at the end, spirits. Which obviously we'll get to. Yeah, they're kindred spirits. He has the heart of an artist, the soul of an artist, and Chick, if nothing else, appreciates artistry in all its forms.
they may be kindred spirits. One of them's a spirit now. Ho! There's a guy. Shot in the head. Am I the only one that was really surprised by how physically large Chick actually is? That they cast that tiny little chica as the sheriff's deputy. Uh-huh. She's like 3.5 feet tall, or maybe she's a 5-footer, and Chick is just big. Didn't he look huge next to her?
Yeah. Well, he was also. I'm sure it was the clothing as well. But he's a big fella. Boy.
Yeah, and he's wearing all the clothes.
What
I think
was the
those
show
he's
was
wearing
on all Sons of Anarchy. Yeah. Huge there too.
Was he huge?
Mm-hmm.
I never watched that.
Yeah, his size didn't change from this show to that show.
That does make sense. There's a certain rationale for that. So we know now that Chick has returned with the raccoon that we all know will now never be stuffed.
Unfortunately.
No. Raccoon's just going to have to kick it there and be
so
stiff.
So much for that art dealer.
Well, at least not in this episode.
Maybe Norman gets away and stuffs some more stuff.
I don't
know if we have time for that. We only have a couple episodes left. Are we really going to stuff a coon? Stuff a raccoon?
All right, so Chick returns with the raccoon. Then we go back to we cut over and we got Romero sneaking out of the girlfriend's house house last week or this week?
That was this week.
That was this week.
Yeah.
Pulls the gun.
Gets the gun.
Now, did it seem to you guys that he had a moment where he's like, "Am I going to have to kill her?"
Yes, I thought the same exact thing.
I was like, "Romero, don't kill her."
Yeah, I thought the same exact thing. She took you in. She healed you. You can't kill her.
He thought about it. He did, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Internets, what do you think? Tell me if you thought Romero thought about killing her, because I think he gave it a good like 5 second. I'm gonna have to kill her.
Well, I think he's just aching to kill somebody. Like, he's full of vengeance right now.
Well, he's not aching anymore if it was an ache. I think he stretched that out a little bit. Like, I think he might be feeling better after blowing chick's face off.
Talk about your itchy trigger finger.
Well, I think he had to think about it because he had to make that decision in that moment if this really is a suicide mission or just a mission, you know? Like, was he planning on, like, murder-suicide over here?
I don't know.
Was he planning on going back to jail for murdering Norman?
I talked about this a couple weeks ago. Because once he got shot and he was that wound was clearly festering a little bit, mm-hmm. I think in his mind it became a one-way shot. This was it. I'm just going to go do this, and then at the end of that, who cares? But now he's healed up, so now he's got to make that choice. I think now that he's healed, does that make any sense? Because when you got a festering wound and you know all you're going to do is, I'm going to get to this guy, I'm going to kill this guy, and then I can die. But now your festering wound is gone. It's healed. Now you've got choices again.
So if that's the case, he had to make the choice whether he was going to kill her or not because she's an eyewitness to him.
And so he decided to let her go.
Yeah.
Let her live. Gets to the house. Starts tripping his brains off.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm beginning to think it's the house that turned Norman crazy. Like, when he walks back in the house, it's been 18 months since Romero has been in that house. And, of course, everything, as soon as he gets in there, everything reminds him of her. Mm-hmm. Everything smells like her still, I'm sure. But I'm beginning to think it's that haunted house that turned Norman insane.
Well, I mean...
Well, he was insane already.
I was going to say, he whacked Dad in Arizona,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
if I recall.
Yeah.
But I've been to Arizona, so, I mean, I understand. I mean, Arizona... Arizona's a state-sized haunted house. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Arizona, but if you live there, I'm sorry.
It's flipping hot.
It's hot.
It's hot.
It's hot. There's no water. There's none. I don't know. Anyway,
I don't do deserts.
So I don't get it at all. I'm like, why? Sand and no beach. I don't get it. So he whacked Dad in Arizona, but I mean, the house might be that be what pushes him over the edge again and again.
It's a little Amityville horror to me.
It is.
A little bit. Yeah.
But he sees the ghost. So Romero comes in. Norma is ghosting. And Romero, with his eyes all beat up.
Man, he's looking rough.
He's looking rough.
Really rough.
Looks like an avenging angel. All you got to do is get through the next few feet, my man. and they start lighting him from her aura.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Neat choice, right?
Yeah. Because
now it feels more real. And then you bring up on how jacked up his face is. And mm-hmm. he follows her up the stairs.
Kudos to Freddie Highmore, who directed this episode.
He did good at Freddie Highmore. Choices.
Yeah.
It was an interesting choice. It was a little bit more, like, ethereal than we usually go with in this show.
Which is what we talked about earlier, about her beating the shit out of him to get into the body.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of doing, like, the inhabit the body thing. And yet, later on in the episode, we do the ethereal Norma action.
Yeah, ghosts and the aura and her going up the stairs and all lit ghostly. It was interesting. We haven't seen that before. It just sort of showed...
I think it shows Romero's state of mind.
Exactly, yes.
Like, he's probably dehydrated. He still has the wound. He's, like, he's at the end of his journey almost. And he's getting seeing stuff.
Yeah.
He's almost a little fucked up. So he's going on this. And I think that it was a perfect choice to... You want to pepper it in, but you don't want to make it too wooey. Because
mm-hmm.
then it's not really believable.
Yeah.
But I thought that it was the sweetest thing in the world that he fell asleep in her bed, though.
Aww.
It was really... But at this point, he doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know that Norman isn't there, so is he just going to pass out and just wake up when he gets there to kill him?
Well, I guess it's entirely possible that he just fell out. I mean, he wasn't well enough to be doing what he's doing.
It seemed that he went to the house with the intention to kill Norman, and the house, like, the second he walked in that house, the idea of Norman was just gone. It was all Norma for him. Mm-hmm. It was all
it's true. He didn't. You're 100% right. He didn't run around the house with the gun checking every room. That's
care.
True. No.
No, he went right reconnected with his love.
He followed the ghost up the stairs, then he went into the room. She was powdering her face.
Yeah, Norma could have been anywhere. We didn't care.
Do you think that maybe because of the police tape on the motel side that he knew that, like, Norman wasn't going to be there?
He still snuck up the side, Like,
I don't know if he even saw the police tape. I don't get the... I didn't see it in that scene.
And I didn't see it. It doesn't mean it wasn't there.
I don't think it was there.
Yeah, I looked for it.
But he snuck through that part of the L. He didn't really see the other side of the hotel, so that's entirely possible that the tape was only over there.
On the front.
But when Chick showed up, I thought it was the whole hotel.
Well, and mind you, I love the fact that Chick shows up in a car, tosses around a raccoon, leaves, and then obviously sneaks back in the late hours of night because Romero wakes up. And I love how they did that. They had him wake up to the voice of Norman.
Yes.
So smart.
So he's looking for Norman in the house and goes down to the basement where Mother's body was. And in my favorite scene of the whole episode, there is this exchange between Chick and Romero. And I thought last week that somehow Romero was going to kill Dylan, that he was going to see a shadow and think it was Norman, but it was going to be Dylan. He was going to accidentally kill Dylan in his rage. Instead, he kills Chick, but not before they have a witty, well-written, brilliant exchange.
Let's talk about that, because this to me was interesting. It changed Romero for me.
Yes.
Because there was no real reason to kill Chick other than a disgust at his macabre, obvious accessoryhood, I guess you would say, his willingness to be an accessory, his willingness to watch this all burn, to record it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not kill worthy. That's like, hey, you're kind of being a dick,
yeah,
and you're being creepy. But that's not, I'm going to kill you for that. One other thing we didn't say earlier that I thought we should talk about is Romero's code. He, you know, and what's
his
name?
His own moral code.
And I think one of the things that the scene with the ghost brought out, because his face was so weathered, it hit me in that face, in that scene, I'm sorry. It hit me in that scene that he's wearing that code on his back, on his face.
Huh.
All those choices, if you live by the law, right, we all agree that these are the rules, and we all accept them, then you've taken the onus off yourself to decide what's right and what's wrong, because it's already been decided for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of go, okay, I'm going to follow the rules. That way, I don't have to be burdened with all these choices.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been in a position to be in control of all those rules and whether or not those rules get enforced. And he's been in this gray town where, you know, pot was illegal, but it was the big moneymaker in the town. He was dealing with all the gangsters for all those years. And he was dealing with everything in between. And so he's worn that moral ambiguity for all these years. And here it is coming to its final place, right? Mm-hmm. In his moral code, I'm going to kill this little bastard because he killed my wife. And that's it. I don't need to see him go to a mental institution. I don't need to see him go through the... I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. But it was all on his face.
Yeah.
I felt like that wear and tear was there from all those choices. I'm sorry. I just felt like we should say that before we moved on.
That was beautiful.
Well said.
Was it? Yeah.
Well put.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
So we're at the scene with Chick
and Romero. I'm not going to put my hands up. That's stupid. Favorite lines. He takes off in this great, like, I love the way that scene was lit. I love, like, everything. He's got the thing. He's playing with the candy. Like, Ryan Hurst, who plays Chick, has these brilliant choices. You know, when Nestor Carbonell was on here, he talked a lot about how they'll find things to play with in scenes, props, things. So how he was tossing around the raccoon in the scene before and how he was picking up the candy and then throwing it down. And he's like, I'm writing a book. And like how it was so brilliant, everything in that scene. And it wasn't... Like, the way they wrote it wasn't insanely crazy, but I just have to think, if somebody handed me a piece of paper and a pen and they're like, all right, write a scene between Chick and Romero right now, what would that look like? I don't know what I would do. I just think that they did such a great job.
So let's get into the scene. Let's get into the meat of it, because I think there was a lot of stuff said by Chick that becomes, you know, kind of like the reason for some of the things we've seen for the last few episodes. So he had that one line that you really liked.
The line right before his brains get blown out?
That's the one.
Which is, I find ironic, because it was a surprise that he was killed. More surprise than the brain would allow you to imagine.
Right? No one would believe this. Life is stranger than fiction. Yeah. Isn't that right? Right? Real life, true crime, isn't that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
True crime always trumps, or I don't remember how he says it.
Yeah, and then he's also, you make true adversaries.
You make perfect, worthy adversaries.
And he's almost like, you guys, and I don't know if maybe it was the anger in Romero, if you break up the anatomy of the scene, it was the anger in Romero where it's like, you're going to reduce me down to a book character.
I agree.
And like, you're writing a book about this, you're going to exploit it, and this is what, like, people have died. He's crazy. And you're, you know, it was so beautiful when he was like, you think he's crazy. Romero said, he is crazy. He killed his mother. And he goes, yes, but he also loved his mother. So he's siding with Norman during this exchange. And it's just, I mean, it's such a great scene.
Oh my God, you just killed me.
We've taken Dua Casey rather aback.
I just thought it was so well done, that scene. You know, like, if you're a writer, you have these little like traditions that you do, the way like you set up your room or your cup of coffee or your favorite mug or something like that. Mm-hmm. And to see the way that Chick had to set up his writing space, his headspace, to be in that freezer that in the basement, because he wanted to feel like she felt. He wanted to feel, well, know what it's like to be adored like a queen with these candelabras everywhere and his big headpiece and his costume. And that's how he's going to sort of imagine this and take it all in and put it on the page. Uh-huh. I think Romero coming down and seeing that, and what you said, being reduced to this character, to this trope, to a storyline. What do you say? He said the sheriff who escaped prison on a mission to avenge the woman he loves from her murderous sick son. He's like, I have to write it down. Yeah. Fuck you. You know what? So, fuck you. That's it.
So that's why, because that's my next question, is why does Romero kill him? You think that's it?
I think it was fuck you. Fuck.
Yeah. You know what?
You don't know what this is like.
Fuck you.
You're not writing this book.
That's I'm glad you're enjoying this, asshole.
Yeah.
But fuck you.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Okay.
So, he sees the beauty and the artistry in this sick scenario, and it's sad because up to this point, Chick was one of the only, you know, funny parts to this story.
Yeah, so eccentric.
Yeah, and is gone.
Well, I mean, it's interesting to me. Like, this is Chick fully realized. Mm-hmm. Like, he's in the mausoleum. He's like you
element.
Said. He's lit the candelabras. He's got his shit dialed out. And he dies in his element.
Yeah.
He dies in exactly, I mean, as an artist, I mean, that's it doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah.
But you think Romero killed him just because you've reduced me to this thing and I'm not okay with that and that's too much?
I think it was an emotional choice.
An emotional choice. You don't Definitely. Think he tick, 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 all through all the bullshit and went, I know what'll happen. Chick will get arrested, but nothing will happen.
Think about the amount of information he got in a really short time.
Mm-hmm.
Norman is in jail. So he's like, shit, I can't kill him right now. He's in jail, right? He had this itch. He dug up his mother.
That might be the part.
And he was like,
the horror
where
on his face.
Where is she now? So I almost think that now, after he's done this, I almost think he's going to go look for Norma in some odd way. Like he's almost more interested in Norma. Like, he got to the house and Norma was always, so it's almost like this obsession to find Norma now is going to overcome Romero. I don't know what's going on in his head, but he was not mentally stable on this suicide mission, and this was just not a good convergence to get all of this information at once. And then, but he's been brought up to speed.
He's brought up to speed, and he's also losing it a little bit. He's seeing ghosts.
Yeah,
like he's not well.
Oh, we got to wrap this up pretty quick. He's in a very fragile state. That is a very fair, that is a very fair point. But I have to confess, I did not have time to watch the entire episode until we were here, and I was in the bathroom finishing the episode. Not my proudest moment, but I do believe...
At the AfterBuzz Studios?
In the AfterBuzz Studios bathroom.
Oh, sweet boy.
And I do believe whoever walked past...
Anybody have some air freshener?
Somebody had to walk past the bathroom and hear me go, no! Because he blew him away, and that was my reaction. No!
Oh.
So if somebody at AfterBuzz walked past the bathroom and heard somebody, I wasn't yelling at myself. I was yelling at Romero. All right, so Romero has now blown away Chick, and now we cut back to the interrogation room where they've had Norman kind of cooling, Norma cooling, as it were. Mm-hmm. And we have our last confrontation with Norma and the sheriff. And she just comes in real quick, and she drops it on him.
Yeah. They found two more bodies.
Two more bodies.
Jim Blackwell and
Audrey
Emma's mother.
Ellis.
Yep, Emma's mother. Those are two bodies. Like you said before, Madeline Loomis wasn't even in the picture then, so there goes his story right out the window.
Right.
And he's been now charged with their murders as well. And, you know, we had a brief conversation where Sheriff Green so kindly went up to Dylan and knocked on the door at the King's Motel and said, hey, you know what? This is a choice for you now. You can either cooperate with us or you can choose your family, which is an interesting choice for Dylan because he's been motivated by family this entire show. Well, so this is going to be a hard choice.
Well,
also
he's
remember, he's racked with guilt over his mother's death because he feels responsible because he already abandoned them.
Yep.
So his sense of loyalty, when he abandoned his loyalty to his family, that's when all this shit went down.
Yep.
So now he feels that he bears the responsibility.
Well, let me just toss this in here. His family is sitting on a park bench in the snow, and that's his family. His family's Emma and the baby, and that's it.
Yeah.
This is the choice that he has to make. I think that's essentially what she's saying. The choice is your loyalty to family, but which family?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is your loyalty to this family that's dead, essentially, or to your new family that's very much alive and represents the future for you?
It's not going to be easy, but it's right.
Yeah, and I don't know if you guys noticed. I think they shoot They shoot. They consistently shoot Emma and Dylan's life in. It's Portland, right?
Mm-hmm. They're in Seattle.
You know, are they in Seattle?
Yeah.
Bright colors.
Yep.
Bright choices. Yes.
Outside, everything. In yes. the sun.
And if they're inside the house, it's oranges and yellows and it's bright. Mm-hmm. And everything shot in what's it called? White Pine Bay.
Dark,
everything's
blue.
Dark. Blues,
yeah.
greens, mm-hmm. everything's dark. And that's no joke. That's no accident. And I think Dylan obviously has to make a very, very serious choice very quickly. Or he's going to be a tragic character, which we don't want.
We want him to live happily ever
after. Yeah, we don't want Emma to live with some sort of partially whacked child, because you know there's a pretty good chance that child's going to be flipping nuts anyway. He's got crazy genes in there.
Mm. So, predictions, real quick. Is Norman going to live or die at the end of this series?
I think he lives.
Yeah?
Yep.
That's my thought. What do you think, Casey?
I don't know. I want to say he's going to die.
Well, we got 40 seconds. You think he's dying?
I think he's dying, and the predictive pen says without a doubt.
Okay, so let's play the real fast round of live or die. Romero, live or die?
Die.
I think we all agree on that. Sheriff Green, live or die?
Lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dylan, live or die?
Lives.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, we got a lot of livers over here.
We've lost a lot of people.
I would say chick, but we know the answer for that. All right, we got to wrap it up. It was a pleasure being here with you guys. Dua Casey, where can the kids find you?
You can find me on the Twitters at Dua Casey, DuaKaissi on the Twitters.
Very nice. Julia Kearley?
Twitter and Instagram with my name, Julia Kearley, JuliaCarely.
And you can find me on the Twitters at Joe Flippo, JoeFlippo. It was a pleasure being with you guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.